Hello, friends. Welcome to the C3 podcast. I'm your host and co-creator, Myron Isaiah Bryant. Thank you for taking the time to listen and being a part of our community. At its core, C3 exists to create a safe space for us all to be humans first, learn from each other's professional and life experiences, and choose to co-create a healthy community of betterment. I'm excited for today's conversation with our guest. And with that, let's dive into the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the C3 podcast with Myron Bryant. I'm excited for today's episode with one of my close friends, Joshua Walker. We started down in Orlando there, right? Learning tech and building community together. And since then, have really worked on a great friendship there. So excited to have you on the podcast today, talking about your experience, your values, some of the things you've learned along your personal journey, and what lessons we can all take away from what you've experienced on that journey there. But great thank you, first me, and foremost, for... Yeah, dude. Thank you for attending, man. When I was creating this, I was like, top five people is Josh out there from everything that you've given to me and given to your community there. I'm excited to share that with the group here. Kicking things off there, I always talk about this is a human first podcast. Who is Josh Walker personally? Because you've done a lot, but who are you just as a human first?
A person that likes to help other people, a creator, dad, husband. So yeah, that's really the essence of who I am. Just someone that's had a lot of people help me out on my journey. So I'm just looking to keep that reciprocity going, really, and simple. Yeah. So,
yeah. No, I love that, man. I think a lot of the guests we have here, a lot of the conversations we have here is just centered around helping people and problem solving. So I love when people introduce themselves as just a simple way of, I help people, I solve problems, because ultimately the title is just kind of filling in from there.
Yeah.
100%. In terms of those titles, right, what has that looked like from your journey or your personal background so far professionally?
Yeah. So I always tell people I took kind of the scenic route to tech and had a, even though, I'm fairly young, but I had a few lives before I got into technology. Really, the base of everything was me, joining the military. Was in the Army for 6 years, 4 years active, 2 years reserve. Was in logistics, and which I didn't realize how much logistics kind of play into a lot of, everything that happens in tech, as far as like delivering projects, which is kind of interesting. But I was also a parachutist, and a lot of people always are like, oh, so like you want to go skydiving? And I'm like, heck no, like not at all whatsoever. Like, one, the Army paid me to do it, and two, I didn't even want to do it in the first place. It was just a prereq to do certain training. So, and then from there, I got out of school. I, went to school for actually entertainment, a bachelor's in audio engineering and master's in entertainment business. And, did the whole entertainment thing for a while. It's fun, but, kind of a very volatile field. And then at the time, maybe either you could look at it two ways, good timing or bad timing, that I kind of graduated when the audio engineering landscape had changed, where because technology had grown so much, ironically, a lot of people were bringing their studios in-house. So a lot of the big studio jobs, kind of went away overnight. So from there, not really getting my footing in Atlanta, I decided to move back home with my wife and daughter and was like, hey, I need to figure out something else. And so from there, I went to go do some stuff at a startup, and they were a human resources software startup. And I was doing marketing for them. But then I realized the group I gravitated the most were the developers there who were using PHP at the time, which is what, powers like WordPress and a lot of other systems. And serendipitously, then I met Orette Davis, who was the director of the Orlando Tech Association that was helping bring companies from all over the country and sometimes the world to base in Orlando to basically build that tech ecosystem. He invited me to some meetups, and kind of the rest is history. I basically became human spam at these meetups, and just tried to soak up as much game. Got a lot of great mentors at the time. I basically told them, if you just point me in the right direction, I'll put in the sheer amount of hours. That turned into me getting like my first tech job, you know, in like 4 months, which is a pretty truncated timeline. And then fast forward a few years from there, became like the lead dev there. And I was looking for kind of this wave of like, you know, what's the next big thing? And a lot of my friends had already found their wave previous to me. And like, you know, when Ruby on Rails hit and a lot of other great, you know, tech frameworks or programming languages hit. And then so I was going to go the data science route because that's when that was starting to bud. But then I was also in contact with a lot of startups at the time in Orlando. And one of the startups that was doing like a health project said, hey, have you ran any of your like workloads for data science in the cloud? So at the time, one of my mentors, he had did a talk on like AWS like a year before, but it was more like, oh, that sounds cool. But then I kind of kept going. But then this sparked me to basically look into it again. And like I, you know, went to start to get my cert, started working with startups in Orlando scene, end up just doing like a, you know, TED talk locally. And, you know, my employer was in the crowd and basically was like, hey, you seem smart and, you know, you seem like, you know what you're doing. You should come work for us. So, fast forward now I'm at, you know, one of the biggest, you know, tech firms in the world and, you know, just very fortunate of like getting into tech basically through like sheer curiosity and putting in the hours. So, that's really my, you know, abridged version of my journey of, you know, kind of going through the hills and valleys to get to a really cool and, you know, fun career that's really sustainable. So.
No, dude, I love that. I mean, one of the questions I always ask how people land or get into tech, and I don't think a single person so far has responded with, hey, I graduated college with a very specific degree and intention of joining tech. Like everyone, as seen as tech is, everyone kind of just not falls into it, but has an interesting journey into it. I think that's incredibly valable is my point in always saying that. And specifically with your background where, you know, you started in the army, you transitioned to entertainment, then you found your way into tech. By you doing the hard work, right? You mentioned connecting with others, speaking events, you know, being a part of communities, and then really putting in the hours yourself. Like, that is an incredible journey. You've accomplished a lot within a short time. What have been your values that have allowed you to be successful and accomplish the things you've accomplished?
That's a good question.
Throughout these different roles there.
I think for me, it's really boils down to three. And I, like, you know, I was talking before, I had to think about this pretty hard. Some come from like the army, like integrity. So like, that's a big principle in the military of like, basically be who you say you are, you know, your yes is your no type of thing. And then authenticity. My career really didn't take off until, I became who I actually am. So to give an example, like my first year in like, you know, serious corporate, I was basically in a lot of ways, and I say this all the time, even internally, I was kind of wearing a costume. I was like being who I thought they wanted me to be. But as soon as I was like, all right, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be Josh no matter what, then like my career went a lot faster and took off. And that's, you realize you being yourself is what people gravitate towards, not like a caricature of yourself. And the last thing, as you know, we've been friends for a long time, is just loyalty. So, like I've been always someone like, you know, if you treat, I'm going to treat you well, if you treat me well, then you don't have to worry about me, you know, crossing you over for money or anything else, you know? So I really believe in loyalty, you know, over everything. So those are really my three principles. And I think between those three, it keeps me grounded and make sure I don't do certain things because I have to stay authentic to myself. So.
Yeah, dude, I love those. It was, you said integrity, authenticity, and loyalty. And something you mentioned for the authentic part is that you really felt like your career didn't take off until you're able to be the Josh that you knew yourself to be and be comfortable being that Josh around whoever else was in that room. Right. Yeah. Why do you hear that authentic kind of point so often? Why do you think that was important to you to be yourself, and how that translated into actually being successful as opposed to just being this costume, right?
Yeah, I think because when you think about branding, right, I think a lot of people think about the reason that sounds exhausting is because people create like a facade, whereas a true brand should be based, you know, on yourself. And that's the core of it. So I think being authentic makes it so that you're basically just amplifying who you are. So a lot of people don't know, and maybe I've never said this out loud, but I had like no tattoos until I got a corporate job, which is kind of weird. But it's like, you know, I have kind of some principles too. Like what's interesting, one of the tattoos I have is like the Mario bullet on my hand. And the origin of that was from like one of my mentors, Trisha, who's like a director at one of the big tech companies within like product design. But she has like a empty box in her hand. And I asked her about like, why does she have that tattoo? And she was basically like, one is a reminder of herself, like I think like a blank canvas, like just the empty box. But then it was also like almost like a barrier for herself of like, if someone didn't want to hire me based on this box being on my hand, I don't want to work there anyway. So I always like, you know, very hard and fast rules. So I never tuck in my shirt. I only wear black, like all black if I'm going to a funeral. So like I just kind of established these rules for myself to make sure that I, you know, was always, you know, being myself no matter what. A lot of the teams that have worked with me and for me, my saying is the same, Josh, you get at 3 p.m., you'll get at 3 a.m. Maybe, you know, maybe a little bit more spirited if we're at the bar, but yeah, trying to keep it authentic at all times.
No, dude, I love that. And, you know, it just, as you mentioned, everyone talks about this branding thing. I remember when I first joined corporate, right? I hated the word. I mean, I didn't know what it meant. I was like, it sounds exhausting. I think you used that word as well there. And it was like, everything you just mentioned is right on point. It's like, if you're doing it right, i.e. doing it right, being yourself, like it shouldn't feel like a job. It really is just telling your story, right? Hey, this is who I am. 100%. This is my story. And making sure that the branding part is that whenever you're not in those rooms, people still tell the same story about Josh as Josh would tell about himself.
Yes.
I think that's just so freeing for you to be able to do there. In terms of maybe early on in career there, again, this being very focused on the human part of the podcast, you experienced the Army, you experienced entertainment building, entertainment business, and then you brought that into tech. What lessons did you learn early on in those two roles that differentiate you from what others may experience or bring to tech there?
Yeah, I think from the military, I got like the discipline aspect. So like, you know, whether you want to or not, you know, you're going to basically wake up early and work out. There's a certain amount of programming in the military that is necessary for you to do your job function. And it's very structural too. So like once you get back into the real world, you realize how much structure there isn't. I think it's taken time because you realize the Army does it for you. So you have to learn to do it for yourself. But now, you know, I'm someone that's able to, you know, create structure around a lot of things for teams. So that's a lot of things I got from the military was just, you know, working hard and then breaking through barriers of like stuff you didn't think you could do. Cause like, the funny thing about the parachutist thing is like, I hate roller coasters and people are like, but you jumped out of planes. And it was like, yeah, I'm also scared of heights, but I jumped out of the plane because I had a goal that superseded my fear essentially. But, so the Army did a lot of that for me where like, you know, I didn't know where I was going. I didn't really know my skill set, but they forced you to do hard things. And then once you do a bunch of those, then you're like, well, if I survived that or did that, then I can do anything. And that's the kind of mentality I have. For the creative field, that's also a great an accompaniment because you realize tech always is seen as like kind of boring and rigid, but in essence, it's a very creative field. Especially when you think about the enterprise, like when you're, if you're talking about sales, if you're talking about architecture, if you're talking about pretty much anything, the people that are the best at it are the creative people, you know, like if you feel like you do the same thing every time to accomplish something, those people end up usually, you know, getting outdated and become dinosaurs. But the people that can come up with a creative solution is what, you know, it gives you the longevity and what makes the job fun as well. So those really, I think from those two areas of my life, bringing those into tech, it one made me authentic. And I think the authenticity part too is being able to tell people like your whole life, like, you know, with my book, I always joke I'm an open book because I am. And I think a lot of times people don't seem human because they aren't sharing. They're not being themselves at work and they're not sharing anything about themselves outside of what they their, you know, role or profession is. So hopefully I answered your question. I feel like that was, you know.
No, you definitely did, dude. And it's funny you mentioned not being themselves and not sharing. It's like you could be AI at this point. It's a joke I always make. It. Even people I've met only virtually, I'm like, we can all be AI at this point. Like, I mean, you know, until you meet in person. That human part is so important. And again, I just love your background because it shows one of the things I think is really important within tech is people would say diversity, people would say being able to learn, I think is what I would kind of really anchor that on, right? Is that you went from an incredibly rigid field to an incredibly creative field. And frankly, the people who do well in tech is right in the middle there, right? I was like having the discipline to do the certain things, like you mentioned when you were learning programming development, right? With PHP, like you were able to go out and put the hours in and discipline yourself to be successful and learn that. But then you're able to take those foundations and apply that in incredibly creative ways that allows you to continue to be successful there. So I love that arc of your background there as well. You start off by saying something that I don't know if you caught up on is just working out in the morning. So I've been following you as well. I know you've been doing more and more running. I recently got into running there as well. I hated it at first, but now it's incredibly fun. What's been your running journey? How has that been something that's been really helpful for you personally since you've been participating in that?
That's a good question. So when I was in the military, I ran a lot, like more than like what was required. And I did the longest run I had done was like the Army 10 miler in Virginia in the DC area. But after I got out of the military, I was just like, I'm never running again, essentially. But then, you know, fast forward, you get older, wiser, you want to keep your health. So I got back into running like early last year and just kept up with it. And, you know, it's incredibly fun and being able to win like the medals and stuff. But most importantly, is just like the mental aspect of it and the health aspect. So I don't feel like there's any bigger high than a runner's high afterwards, as far as like those endorphins you get from running. And I love the camaraderie of running as well. I don't think I've ever met like someone that runs long distance that hates their life. You know what I mean? It's like I don't know, it's like maybe they take out all their venom on the run itself, but it's like everybody's super happy, part of that community. What I did last year, which once again, just trying to always make sure I'm maxing out my potential. So like I said, the longest run I did was like 10 miles. And that was when I was like, you know, super early 20s, maybe even just barely 21. And then so when I wanted to run farther than I had ever run before last year. So I did my first half marathon last year, which was a lot of running, but it was worth it. I'm hopefully do another one this year, but yeah, I think running just centers me. I think when you're running, especially if you're running long distance, you don't really like, it's a lot of time to think. And usually some of your clearest thoughts come from running. And then, like I said, post run, you're feeling, you know, you feel great. You feel like you can pretty much accomplish anything. So yeah, big fan of running in general.
No, man, I love it there. I mean, everyone talks about the like physical aspects of running, right? Where you're healthier and all those great things. And like, that's incredibly important, like full stop there. Yeah. But you talked about the mental aspects, which for me have been really beneficial as well, right? Like there's times I'm running and like, if I have a rough day or whatever type of day I have, I'm just trying to solve a problem, right?
Yes.
And I'm like, I can't get it sitting down here. So I'll go running like in the morning or after work, whatever. And then like, I think 80% of the problems I solve, I'm probably on the treadmill or running. So if I'm really, I'm just being completely honest.
Yeah.
Like if I'm stuck, like that's where I typically get my best thoughts. So there's a very real, I think, mental health aspect of that, where it's problem solving or just to your point, you feel better after kind of using that as an outlet to recenter yourself after that run there.
100%. Yeah.
In terms of just, you know, working in tech now, working on projects, working in development, there's a ton of these methodologies for projects, right? Mm-hmm. So you talk about everything from waterfall to agile, a ton of other ones you can utilize there. How do you best manage that? And the reason I bring that up is tech is transformative, right? Mm-hmm. And that is both this existential amazing word that everyone feels but doesn't understand. The reality that once you start putting hands on keyboards and people start changing their day to day is like, this is a change.
Yeah.
And this is always not going to feel great, right, for us to put that change in. How do you best see making those transformations and utilizing the correct methodology for customers there?
Yeah. So I've been on, you know, all types of projects with all, you know, kind of pretty much in most of the methodologies. The one I've seen the most is agile, just because of like me being in like the cloud computing software space. But I would say it's, and I know we're going to talk more about like, you know, the customer centric piece, but like, I think for me, it's figuring out what, like who the actual team is, because what I try to explain to like, you know, the people above me or the people side to side with me all the time is that no matter what you pick, it's not going to work if no one uses it. So, you know, adoption is one of the biggest keys of making sure your project management works. So I'm willing to be open-minded and pivot if it means everyone's going to take it serious for us to deliver. So that's number one for me. I think, you know, kind of that old timer phrase is everything's a nail to a hammer. So I try not to be that way where, you know, you got to make sure you know the landscape before you start suggesting what they should use to basically, you know, steer the ship. So
I love that, dude. I mean, what people, and this is from tech leaders that I connect with or have as customers there. There's a balance there, right? I mean, waterfall is typically known for longer distance, right? Which the benefit there is that you have, you're working towards this long distance goal. But it's not as agile or pivotable, for lack of a better word, along the way. And people, I think agile is by far what people use the most now today, right?
Yeah.
Because you can get those check-ins and validation every step of the way. But then some people are like, hey, well, if I'm just always pivoting, how am I doing against my long-term goal? Am I getting off track there? So really find that balance, I think, what a lot of people are looking for with those conversations. How do you best navigate that, right? From some of the conversations you have with customers of what I'm going to be doing today, but also what's going to be helpful for me long-term based off of our organizational goals.
Yeah. I think for me, it's always explaining that really we should just be trying to move at the speed of the market, but then also having the reason why agile works the most is because it's like it's a quicker feedback loop cycle. So waterfall worked really well when stuff was a little bit simpler. But now because of how big the landscape is and how many technologies go into each project, it can be challenging to, you know, be able to predict like what the end product will or should be and what problems will happen along the way. So I think it's mainly me explaining to them like things will change. We will have to pivot and you got to be okay with that. I think where agile helps as well is that you're trying to break it up more into bite-sized chunks. So I think what builds momentum is like the small wins for a bigger project. Yeah. And then I think as you build smaller increments, then it makes it so there's not like a gigantic gap. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, if you say like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have built that at all. Maybe you only lost 2 weeks versus 6 months. So I think that's the main thing. I will say with agile, and I feel like nobody talks about this enough, like agile almost never purely works in a enterprise situation. Like it's always some hybrid of some sort. It's not, if you're like a pure agilist, like you got to also be okay with that. It's not going to be 100% from what you, read on scrum.org. It's going to be a little messy. So
it's the foundations and it's the practice is what I'm hearing, right? And again, this may be a hot take and putting some human flavor in it. A lot of conversations I have with people are about like, oh, all these entertainers that have been successful in different crafts, right? Or arts, right? So I know you and I are big fans of Gambino. So he's been successful in many different ways. And you think about that, like it's a very creative field. It's different aspects of that. You have to think he has a process to be effective, no matter if he's, being an artist with vocals there, if he's writing, directing, if he's participating as an actor himself, like you have to have a process for that. And what I just heard from you is, as you continue to develop, even in this corporate tech world, you have to have a process. And there's going to be the foundations, as you mentioned, right, with Agile and Scrum, all those great things. But you also have to have the flexibility to be able to adapt that based off of who you're talking to and getting that customer feedback. I think even the sales side of me, right, as you talk about like solving those problems, putting the solutions in place, like that's so important from a value perspective of not just putting a long-term vision in there and saying, hey, call me in 2 years and we'll be done, hopefully. And hopefully what I'm delivering from a decision 2 years ago is still going to be helpful. Having that validation every step of the way is incredibly important. Talking about that validation, and what I use is like the third C for the C3 ride is co-creation. How do you best involve customers, not just creating that journey, right? Because I think everyone knows where they want to go at any particular time, but you create this roadmap, you create this journey, you start running. And it's almost just like we talked about with running on a day-to-day for long distance. And then you have amount of time pass and you realize, I still kind of want this long-term journey, but these new things happen and we may need to pivot. How do you have those conversations? Because sometimes, frankly, they can be uncomfortable if they said on day one, we want to go to A and maybe we're at like B here today.
Yeah. I think for me, it's always just growing that relationship, because what you realize is like, because I'm in the field of consulting and it's all built on relationships no matter what you're doing. And that's a valuable skill to learn just in life. Hard conversations are going to be hard no matter what, but they're easier if you have a strong relationship with the person.
Yeah.
So one big part of my, I guess, a value, I don't know if it's a value, but I'm always a straight shooter, my relationships are built on like fact, maybe even like too raw fact sometimes, because I'm not like one to, sugarcoat my words, just because I want you to understand like the gravitas and the, I don't want it to be like something you misconstrue, because I tried to make it, really soft, for me, it's really that. It's being able to, you have to be able to just, give the raw truth. I think something that someone told me and I think about all the time is bad news doesn't get better over time. So as soon as you hear something like where you should bring it up as soon as possible, because if you held on something for a month, 2 weeks, people feel slighted because you could have gave them more time to react,
No, I think, again, using that human word, like that's the most important part, right? There's always going to be new technology, new methodology we use for projects, right? But nothing gets done if we don't realize that at the end of the day, we're just two humans, a group of humans, right, solving a problem. So those are the things that always seem to create the most impact long-term for relationships and organizations, right? Organizations are just a collection of people there. Talking about collections of people, you've been very instrumental in community and leadership there, right? So you talked about the different communities for tech down in Orlando, things we've created together there, things you're doing within a larger tech community for some of the things we talked about there. Where has community been impactful for you within your journey?
I would say community has been everything. I'm a product of the community, and which is why I always get, and I don't even feel like sometimes giving back sounds like a weird statement, because usually you have to have like stole to give back, whereas like, you know, and I've never been one of those people that wanted to take the money and run, because a lot of people do. They mine everything they can out of a community and then they're just off into the sunset, you know, on Instagram, taking pictures and stuff, which I do that too, but I'm still in the community. Yeah, like I said, I'm a product of the Orlando tech community. So, you know, like they were, so I try to keep the mentality, whether, you know, in corporate or what I'm doing in Orlando, because a lot of people, it's what I've learned in this community game is that it's just a lack of access to the knowledge a lot of times. Like, you one conversation could change someone's whole trajectory. I know it did for me. So I try and make sure people know what's available so that, you know, then they can opt out or opt in if they want, but at least they can't say that, you know, they didn't know that they could get into a field like this. So yeah, community is everything. I think, when I get like winded or feel like, you know, a lot of the best parts of my weeks are working with people in the community and seeing like change in the community. So.
Yeah, man. I mean, tech is you have to have it. You just almost have to have it in tech, right? Like, it's such a weird and fast moving field that whether you consider it just to stay relevant, to learn tech, to have spaces to talk about things we're talking about right now, about all these different things that we've experienced in different roles and customers and projects, like, you just absolutely have to have that. In terms of just building that community, that's been something that I think is the superpower of yours, right? Is connecting people, providing access to those resources and that knowledge, providing people with, hey, I could go this route, right? Because we don't know what we don't know until someone shows that to us. How have you kind of thought about how you've been able to provide access to people and create the spaces that you've been able to create there?
Yeah. You know, from when we started, it was mainly just creating a safe space. So making it a low barrier to entry, meaning like, you know, it's free to get in. You come, you get like some knowledge from the talk, and you leave at the least inspired and fed, because we always, you know, do like food as well. I think from like a opportunity standpoint and helping people, I think it's really just giving like giving people a platform. So like, I think for a lot of the community stuff I've done is, you know, seeing something in someone that they don't see themselves, and then like telling them about it and giving them a chance to talk about their knowledge and contribute. And I've seen, you know, some superstars happen because of that, like, you know, like Tiffany Spencer. No, and it's like that. There's in my opinion, there's like a million, you know, there's a million Isaiahs, there's a million Joshes, there's a million Tiffanys. Yeah. We just gotta basically find them and give them a chance to be that person, you know. So that's how I look at it. Is like, I'm always, and with the teams that I have now, like because we're in a great spot now where we're able to hire folks again. And just seeing like how talented they are and being able to like be like the catalyst to them going to whatever is next for them. You know, maybe it's they're with the organization 5 years from now, but maybe they're not. And that's okay as well. We just want to see everybody win, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. You mentioned some great names there. You mentioned Tiffany, who will be on the podcast here soon as well. Awesome. Spoke with Mike recently there. By the time this airs, Mike's episode will be out. It's interesting, right? You mentioned giving back, and I share the same perspective, right? It almost feels weird to use that word, but every time I've been mentored or guided by someone, the only ask they've ever asked me for is like, hey, when you get to where you want to go, like, share your story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, there's no, again, it's barriers, low barriers to entry, but like, make sure you share that experience, open those doors, provide that access. And as you mentioned, like, when you see something in someone else that they could potentially go to tech or go to wherever, right? I'm agnostic of where anyone goes. I just want them to be their best selves, that you provide some context and guidance for them to actually achieve that. And that's cool to see. Like, I mean, I remember I graduated from UCF, right? And I'm obviously a little bit older now. And you start to see these cycles, right? And this is exactly what Mike and I talked about. You start to see these cycles of newer, you know, graduates or people in tech joining in, and them becoming like leaders. And that's just, it's an amazing thing to start to see, like, that community that you've been a part of to build their people you guide become leaders themselves. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's a full circle moment seeing that. That's incredibly gratifying.
Yeah, like, not to take away from Tiffany's conversation, I'll just share one great moment. Was I was at, you know, her conference, Dreaming in Color, and like, you know, just seeing her being like mobbed by people, it was just like one of the dopest things ever. Like, she couldn't, there was a time during that conference where she couldn't walk like 10 feet, you know. I was like, like, next conference, you might need like a back tunnel or something, because, you know, people were like mobbing Tiffany to get just like a few minutes of her time, you know. So
I'm gonna make a Gambino joke. Atlanta, when the club promoter just kind of
the revolving door, the revolving door.
Dude, I gotta go use the restroom. Let me just be right back. Oh man, no, I think that's just so important. Like, that's so gratifying to see people again in that first meeting when you're building that community. Right, you see something in somebody there, and then through them being connected to all these different people, they have just an amazing trajectory there where now they're, again, Tiffany, great example, not giving back to a huge, huge scale of people there and developing future leaders. Just give it time and we'll see it. One thing that you've been really amazing at as well is, you know, providing what we're about here on the podcast is that humanity to tech development, right? So Josh Walker, tech dev, has kind of been your moniker there as well. And you do a good job of showing that on social media there, right, with TikTok and other channels. Why has that been important for you to show that on social media platform and kind of show that, hey, this is who Josh is, I'm human, and this is some of the cool things I kind of do there?
Yeah, I think it's being able to, you know, find people where they are. So, you know, a lot of people my age, maybe a little bit younger, maybe a little bit older, you know, they're not on TikTok and they're certainly not creating on TikTok. And it's like, there's a huge vibrant audience there. And I'm being honest, for TikTok specifically, that's probably like the only platform that feels like the most authentic to myself.
Yeah.
It's like being like a proud, like ADHDer, like, I feel like that chaos and rawness is what makes the platform fun, you know? So teaching on there has been great, just because of like, you can give someone a lot of information in a short amount of time. I think also just from social in general, just as some game for whoever's listening, depending on where you are in your journey, even if you're, you know, later in your journey, a big part of your brand is what people see online. So like, you know, LinkedIn is a huge proponent of my career growth. I've been able to connect with all types of people for the organization, and then even professionally, like, you know, like, I feel like I moved up a lot in corporate because people are like, man, you're doing a lot outside of these four walls, where a lot of people's whole identity is tied to their job. And I think that can be a little scary too, because if your identity is tied to the job, if the job's going bad, then your life's going bad. Whereas like, if you have a more holistic life, not only are you better on the job, but you have a little balance there. So, and then for the tech dev, I always joke, you know, my shout out to my mom, but she gave me the most like basic name ever. So, you would never be able to find me online without the tech dev. So, you know, I'm not the most popular Josh Walker, unfortunately. So that, it's a branding tool, tech dev, you know, tech development, but it's also, you know, an easy, also SEO, like search engine optimization, where you can, you know, I can dominate that string of characters. So.
No, man, you dropped a ton of game within a couple of sentences there, right? I mean, it connects the community, right? Where you talk about social media, like, this is not the ultimate community, because I think in person and just like seeing people is always going to be something that we can't emulate online, but we can reach a larger audience, right, with social media.
I agree.
You talked about your branding with, you know, tech dev, right? And how that was important for you, and you can dominate that character set. And then you also talked about just a part of what I would consider like prioritization and just self-actualization there as well there. So again, on Mike's episode, we talked a little bit about Maslow's hierarchy. In my first episode with Coach Dave, we talked about that self-actualization. Once you have community, once you have these things, the ability to give back is once you kind of reach kind of that higher spot there. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. a lot of what I've learned the past couple of years, and you know, at some point I'll have my sales coach join in, Ian Koniec, has been the ability to prioritize there. And whether you identify with ADHD or not, like it's such a, I think it's something we all feel to some degree is these pulls, right? So something I bought recently, I'm sure if people are watching online, you probably can't see it. But the little cube, right? Like I just got this. See, there you go. So for people who are on YouTube, you can see it. But for people who are just listening, like there's, what do you call these things? I just call it like my little like clock cube. Like
Or fidget cube. Some people call it.
There you go. Fidget cube, man. Like it's so important because again, however you self-identify or experience things, like we all can resonate with this feeling that there's all these things to pull at us. Right. And it's hard at times to just say, hey, I'm going to focus on one thing. So I think truly that like multitasking is a myth. Well, people will argue with me, but I know at least for Myron, I can't multitask. I have to focus to give myself bounds to do that.
and this is maybe a hot take, but it's actually backed by science that multitasking isn't real.
It's not.
You're basically just switching tracks over and over. And that's why it can seem, that's why a lot of people have anxiety because they are multitasking. I'm going to do one thing really well at a time, even if it's for 10 minutes type of person. You know,
flip that cube to 10 minutes. And then I'll talk to you when it's done. But I think that's so important, man, because I have really close friends who, you know, even as adults, right, have been diagnosed ADHD. Like I show some to myself as well there, right? And again, not saying that everybody has it or everybody doesn't. I think we all resonate with this idea that there's so many pulls at any given time. And that's what you talk about anxiety as well. It's like, I feel like I'm always giving a part of myself to this new priority, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so important for us to be able to understand where we give that energy, where we give that time to. And that's where, frankly, C3 came from for me on a very personal level, is that first word, C of clarity, right? Hey, like, who is Myron? What are my values? What am I going to use to put my priority and my time towards? That's why these conversations are important as well, as like they provide people a lens into what we actually want to focus on and say no to. Speaking of those C3s, I know we're getting towards the back half or back end, excuse me, of our episode. Last couple of things that we typically do is talk about just those C3s. So again, C3 stands for clarity, connection, and co-creation. Those have been my values throughout my career in different areas there. Clarity, right? How do you use your values to understand what you say yes to versus maybe what you say no to, understanding what's important for Josh?
Yeah. So, I think as you get older, you realize you only care about a few things. And I forget the author's name, but one of the, in so many books that I've read, I've quoted the same thing, but it stuck with me. It's like, it's either a no or it's a hell yes and nothing in between. So that's how I basically like live by that now of like, if it's not extremely exciting, then it's a no. And it doesn't have to be an apologetic no either. It's just that's not what I'm into, or that's not where I want to put my energy. I think another one too, I was really reading Ali Abdaal's book, which is Feel Good Productivity, and I just finished that one. That was amazing. But one of my favorite things is, if you had to do this thing tomorrow, would it still be exciting? So I think about that now anytime someone's like, because you know, a lot of people are pulling you and asking you to like, hey, can you be here, can you be part of this? If it's not going to be exciting, if you have to do it tomorrow, if it's not exciting, don't do it. For clarity from a client standpoint, I think is something I wanted to touch on is how I get clarity with working with clients is by listening. Like, the biggest way to have a strong connection with your client is you're there to help them. So a lot of people will go on with their own agenda and basically force that agenda on them for good, bad, or indifferent. Whereas I think my career has always been listening and then responding and then restating to make sure I also didn't interpret what you were saying, wrong as well. Because, you can think there's a bunch of different definitions for certain things. So, so clarity on the personnel, just to wrap that up, like for me, I think I'm grounded in like, I want to do things that want to keep me like, I don't want to plateau and I want to make sure that I'm continuing progressing. So I think a lot of times I don't like to do things that I've done before unless it really meaningful to me, like, you know, and then on the client end, I get clarity by just being, you know, being a good listener and responding with options versus like what you should do, you know? So,
yeah, dude, I geeked out when you mentioned Ali Abdaal, like, I think that's important within tech, within, I think, any craft, right, is always being mindful of how we continue to learn. And his platform, I think, is a great example of that. And I think everything we talk about here, just not as just the podcast, like as individuals, like we are committed to continuing to learn, as you mentioned, try different things and get better through that process. So I just geek out of any conversation anywhere in the sphere of that.
Yeah.
I love how you talked about helping providing clarity for clients as well. That's just so important because, you know, a lot of times you do go into those conversations and listening is the most important thing to build that trust you mentioned earlier, to be able to respond appropriately, to confirm that you understand. And then, you know, one thing that we always have been saying in the past couple episodes is like, there's very few places where people generally feel listened to, right? So for you to provide that for someone in this world of, you know, social media and all these different pools or things like that, that's almost in itself a gift that helps people clarify, just for them to genuinely be to say what's important to them. And a lot of times you may not even have to speak, right? You just give them a space to like process out loud what their experience is, and you kind of reach a goal there together. You've talked a lot about just the tech side in terms of your experiences. Data is incredibly important as well there, as you talk about AI and be able to make the right predictive decisions, right? And that goes into what I consider a connection. What have you seen best utilized for connecting with customers, connecting with people in general? Do you typically anchor on experiences, storytelling? You know, data is great, but I think it backs up feelings. What do you typically use for connection?
I would think for me, it's storytelling in a lot of ways, in a few different ways. So story in the sense of telling people where they could go, where they, and I like to say could instead of should go. There are situations where maybe you should, because of like, you know, the gravitas of like what's happening. But I think from, a story perspective too, also, I always call them like war stories. I think a lot of times when we're, you know, going up for opportunities or even just meeting with a client for the first time for a specific problem, what makes something stick or makes it so that they actually believe you is if, you know, they hear those battle scars or you're, you're, you know, they feel like you're stopping them from a pitfall that you've already experienced, you know. So I think people... I think what makes, you know, stuff less human when it comes to like sales or relationships in corporate is everyone wants to seem and they want to appear invincible, where like I think my brand has been like, I'm clearly not invincible, but I'm stronger because of it. So I think a lot of people gravitate towards when they feel like you're not trying to game them, whether it's the client or even like the audience you serve. Cause, I think even when I was on TikTok for the first time, and it's kind of died because of the tech layoffs, which is know, one of the only positives from the tech layoffs. But is that a lot of people were like, so where's your Udemy course? And I'd be like, I don't have a Udemy course. I'm just just here to teach you people. So, you know, there's usually a lot of agenda behind why someone is doing something. Whereas like, I think, you know, I'm in this field because I want to help people out.
I love that, dude. I mean, again, no matter what the title is, there will always be a need for help, a need for problem solver. So the title is just a title, and we're here to just help. And the best way to help people understand what you can offer and what you can do together is that storytelling.
Great.
The last C is co-creation. And you know, we've talked a lot about this in different ways, right? About different methodologies from waterfall to agile. But maybe let's talk about on a personal level when you talk about some of the people you've impacted in community. But you know, how do you co-create an inclusive path for success? Because to your point, right, you always want to tell people, hey, you maybe could or should go this way or that way. I see this thing or that thing in you, and this is what you maybe could accomplish. But it doesn't mean anything if the person isn't bought in, right? So how do you provide an inclusive co-creation for someone's path there?
Yeah, I think it's meeting people where they are, for one. So, you know, I still to this day will still do a lot of like short calls with people, or at least direct them to people that can help them on their journey. I also think I've always had the gift of encouragement. I think a lot of times what I've seen is people just need like that final like word of encouragement for them to get started. Maybe they've never, and I told this to my wife recently, like how long it had gone in my life before someone had actually like affirmed me in anything. And I realized that's probably widespread of like, where I try and do it all the time, because maybe this person their whole life hasn't had someone say, hey, no, you're smart enough to do that. You should give it a shot, you know, you know, and that's all they needed to be successful. So,
Dude, I love that, right? It's again, talking into how often people feel listened to, right? Hey, you listen to them and you affirm that what they're thinking is valid and that they can accomplish maybe what they're thinking about. And that is in this pool's conversation we have here, everybody wants you to do this or that, but to say, hey, what you're prioritizing and thinking about doing is important, and I believe you can do it. How many times do people say that? Like, it just doesn't come up.
You probably agree, Isaiah, that too. I think because of like how tech is portrayed just in general, people make it too high stakes, where I'm just like, just try it out. You know, you're like, you have a computer, you have the internet. Like, well, what's the worst that can happen? You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Dude, I mean, that's, I mean, the connection I put there is like, that's agile, right?
right.
Whether you want to make it as a try it out or this, you know, formulated methodology is due. Like, just try something out, lean startup, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
See the validation you get and see if you like learning it, right? And you want to learn more of it, or see, hey, like, I didn't even like that experience and I don't even want to try to learn it.
That's what I told everyone. Like, why I said I was human spam is because I was like, I was at so many meetups, because when you're in the beginning, you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know what you don't like. So you got to kind of go like food court style and sample a bunch of stuff and see, you know, what sticks out.
That's life, dude. That seriously is life. And I think the more opportunities to provide people to do that, right, is, again, with that validation, with that affirmation, as well as like creating community, like that is everything, you know. Being able to experience those things, figure out what you like, and have encouragement along the way there. Wrapping up things, man. First and foremost, just thank you for hopping on and spending some time with us, sharing your experience, sharing your values, sharing some laughs there. As always, giving a ton of game about what's impactful for life and then tech. So just thank you, man. Before we hop, any acts from our listeners, right? You shared so much with us. How can we give back to you? How can we give back to Josh?
Yeah, I say, like I said, if you're on the fence about trying out a new avenue or just trying out tech in general or going down a path of something that you really want to do, you should just pull the trigger on it. I have a friend who I should probably introduce you to, who should be on this podcast too.
Yeah.
And, you know, he recently survived, you know, like cancer, and something that he said to me at dinner recently that I've been thinking about every day ever since is that he said, like, now I'm on this side. This is like the year of aggression, and and not like aggressive, like I'm going to be overbearing on stuff, but overbearing on like my goals. Like, since I'm still here, I obviously have a purpose. So everything I was hesitant on, I'm going to actually be aggressively going after. So I'm kind of taking that same energy this year of like, how can I, you know, make whatever I'm working on, whatever I care about, even bigger, or finally start those things that I've been putting off.
Yeah, man. No, it's so important to be able to get, I like what you said earlier, right? About if you had to do it tomorrow, would you still do it? Like, sometimes those things are very clear. We just got to get started. And the blessing that we can do that is the most important part. 100%. With that, we'll go ahead and wrap. And again, thank you so much for coming on, sharing some time, sharing some nuggets and lessons with us. And I appreciate you deeply, man. Wait, friend, before you move on, take the time to gift yourself the Sea of Clarity or Community. With so many pools for our time and attention today, one of the best gifts we can gift ourselves is a moment to simply breathe and be present, to gently process our experiences, emotions, and thoughts with grace and non-judgment. To do this, take the next 2 remaining minutes of today's episode to practice simply paying attention to yourself. Or maybe gift yourself and or others community by connecting with us online. You can thank today's guest, share your experience and lessons, or connect with others as well. To do this, go to the website c3.community or our C3 Community LinkedIn page, or of course, our YouTube channel. As always, friend, thank you for listening in and for choosing to be a part of our community. We hope you take a few precious moments for yourself. See you soon.